justified by faith. We hear that phrase, but what is that really? We have faith, we believe in God, we have faith, we believe in Jesus' teachings, we have faith, we believe in that salvation that He has promised us, that we will be heirs to the kingdom, that we will have a heavenly existence after death. But what is that justified by faith mean? Well, we talk about it in terms of justifying margins. I don't know if you have a computer or if you have a Word program, but I know I was fascinated the first time I realized that you could click on that little icon and punch one button, and all of a sudden both right and left margins would be justified. Trying to do that on a typewriter when I was young was just torture. Oh, it was awful. And I'm not a very good typist anyway. So to be justified means to be put in right relationship. To be lined up straight. To be made in right relationship. Well, that all sounds real good, but that's still kind of hard to envision. So I like to think of it as the lines on the road. You know, when you're going down the highway, you're supposed to keep it between the lines. You're supposed to stay in your lane, or if you're going to change lanes, you're supposed to let people know, and, you know, you're supposed to keep it in the lane where you're trying to go to. Well, that's kind of what God does for us in our life. He gives us law, He gives us teachings, He gives us lines in which we're supposed to stay in. And He promises us that if we keep it between the lines, we'll get where we're trying to get to. Justified means that we are on God's road, and He has defined for us what that road is and what the danger zones are and where we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to go. I like that. I like that somebody who knows a whole lot more about this universe than I do has made for me a road that I can follow to get where I want to go. Amen. To become one with Him, to get to His heavenly kingdom, to live my life in an appropriate right relationship with Him so that I'm not wandering off through the woods, going out into the mud, going off into the ditch. I told you in my prayer about hearing those sirens this morning, and it just brought back to me the years that I spent working ambulance. And I wondered who was hurt. I wondered what had happened. I wondered if there'd been a wreck. I wondered if someone was sick. I wondered, you know, at that hour of the morning, you hear a siren. You know it's not good news. Somebody out there was struggling. Somebody out there was suffering. Somebody out there was having a hard time. And I thought how thankful I am to have this life that I have. To know that God loves me. To know that God cares for me. To know that Jesus died for me. To know that I have a path to follow and work to do and something that is important. And a place where I belong, and a place where I fit, and a place where it kind of makes sense. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel safe. It makes me feel secure. It makes me feel like I am part of something bigger than myself. And so Paul goes on and says, we have peace we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul was a Hebrew, a Jew, who knew the law well, who had studied the Old Testament, and had been transformed by a vision of Christ crucified and resurrected. And he had come to understand that even with all the law of the Old Testament, and all the teachings, and all the prophets, and all the stuff that he knew, faith in Christ gave him a new relationship with God, a better relationship with God, a relationship with God that transcended and made complete all those teachings. And so he speaks of obtaining access to the grace in which we stand and sharing the glory of God. Access to grace. That love, that life, that being able to be in God's presence, that being able to be riding the wave of God's love through this life that has so many trials and tribulations and pains and suffering and woe. We know about all the bad things that go on. The news media makes sure that we know about all the bad things that go on. But when do you ever hear the good news? No, it doesn't sell newspapers. It doesn't sell ads on the cable stations. The bad news is what people seem to want to hear. They want to be horrified. They want to be, oh, it's so terrible. But what about all the good people who are still doing good things, who are living a good life, who have love in their hearts for each other and are trying to do the right thing? When do we hear news of them? Well, right here. This is God's people in God's house doing God's work. And we will go out into the world at the end of the day and share that, I hope, share that with those who don't know about that. To those who are suffering, to those who are worried, to those who are hurting, to those who are in pain, to those who are less fortunate than we. We give our money. Some of us give our time and our effort and our energy. We all care about people. We all reach out to people when we see them hurting. That's just what being a Christian is all about. Sharing the love. Not just with each other. We certainly do that. The wondrous joy of being able to share this worship. But also, the wondrous joy of being able to help somebody, offer help in time of need. To be in a position to have enough to offer help. To have enough love in your heart so that you can share that love. To have enough wisdom of the Word to share the words, to have enough time and energy to be able to just share a moment. From a worldly perspective, we shouldn't share. We should be hurrying to grab everything we can. Life is short, the world says. Or as one of my neighbors used to say, or actually had a bumper sticker on his very large boat, which took up the whole front yard, he who dies with most toys wins. That seems to be the way people live. I've got to get mine. I've got to get more stuff. I've got to have it. I mean, Shirley and I were laughing the other day because we were talking about putting some of our stuff in storage so we could get more stuff. You know, the world's full of stuff, good stuff and bad stuff. We want stuff. We want new stuff. We want different stuff. We want to... But really, what do we want? The love of God. The peace that passes understanding. The perfect, pure knowledge that we belong here with Him. And in the future, in eternity, with Him. Knowing where we'll be. Who we'll be. Who we belong to. What matters. Yeah, we get caught up in the stuff. Sure we do. We're human. But we're different. Because we know there's something else, something better, something bigger, something more important. And so Paul says, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We believe that we will share God's glory through all eternity. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Boast in our sufferings? Well, that doesn't seem like a very good idea. Golly, you mean we're going to be proud of the fact that we're hurting? Well, when it's hurting for Him, yes. We're proud of the fact that we can overcome our sufferings with the love of God, that we can struggle through the world as it is with its pain, and know that we have that comfort. And so we are proud that we have overcome our sufferings. Amen. Especially on this Memorial Day, we are proud of the people who gave their lives. We are proud of the people who gave their service. We stand up proudly and pin the American flag on our chest and say, I served my country. And as we said in our prayer time, and there are those, or actually as Mike said in his children's sermon, there are those who serve their God as well. We're proud of being able to serve. We're proud and boast of the fact that we go out of our way to volunteer, to help out, to give money, to support causes that support the values that we, as Christians, as Americans, as people who love each other and their neighbor, think are important. Values are important. Service is important. God and country. Love and peace, even when we have to fight for it, are important. We can get lost in the day-to-day stuff. But then we have these moments, these holidays, these remembrances, these recognitions, these times when we look at what's really important. And it's not just the stuff. It's those values that cause people to rise above their humanity, become better than they would be, stronger than they could be, more valiant, more faithful, more giving than they would be without them. We seek to be in service, just as our servicemen around the world and throughout the years and throughout the wars and throughout the history have served their country, we serve a value. And we're willing to suffer for that. We're willing to suffer for Christ. We're willing to suffer this world. We're willing to suffer to help each other. We're willing to suffer to help those in need. We're willing to suffer to make it through this world in order to get to the next. And not only us, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. I work in a drug treatment program, and I frequently watch people slide off the edge and go outside the lines and think that they can handle this or that, and they can't. They don't have the strength in and of themselves to keep it together. And so when they slip, when they slide, when they go too close to the edge, they sometimes fall off the edge and go in the ditch and lose their freedom or their lives. We see that happen and it breaks our hearts, especially if it's someone that we know or are related to or care about. We feel responsible. Why couldn't I have helped them? Why couldn't I have made a difference? Why couldn't I have changed that? We want to reach out to people, and yet it seems like sometimes they are just so busy going their own way that they can't see that they're crossing the line, that they can't realize that that sound they hear is that edge of the highway, the gravel that they're about to run off into, the warning that danger is ahead. We get so caught up sometimes in ourselves that we lose it. But we as Christians continue to reach out. We continue to believe, we continue to stand up for those things we believe in, and in doing so, we become a light in the darkness. We become that reflector that tells us where the road is, even when it's foggy and rainy and difficult to see. We become those other people who are keeping it between the lines and slowing down and doing the right thing so that, I mean, many a time I've followed the semi through a rainstorm where all I could see was the back end of that truck because it was raining so hard and going down the highway. God is my truck. God is my semi. God is the one who has made the roads and lined it with reflectors and shown me where to go and what to do. And not only does He do that, but He leads me and He cares for me and He comforts me and He keeps me safe. But if I go off on my own, if I try and take my own path, if I think that I don't have to pay attention, bad things happen. We struggle to live in the love of God. We hunger to be in His presence. We want to be in His love. And it is in the love of God that we share this love of community, this church family, our own families, and reach out to those people that we see who are not aware of what they're doing, not realizing what the consequences are, not knowing what's going to happen, to try and help them. But you can't always help them. Not everybody will follow His way. Not everybody will come to know His love. Not everybody will listen to the warnings. And so we pray for those who have gone before. We pray for those who have served. We pray for those who have led the way. And we pray that we will have the strength and the wisdom and the patience and the love to be there for those that we see that are not following the way. God's love will carry us through, but not all of us will get through. Not all of us will make it. And so we honor the service of those who've gone before, of those who come here today, and those who will come after us, because we all seek to serve that one God, a God of love, a God of peace, a God of joy, a God of freedom, a God who cares about us and leads us into the future. In His name we pray. Amen.